the end of the beginning. I had the message before I had the title. And I begin to think of that song. It says, he was born of a virgin one holy night in a little town of Bethlehem. Angels gather round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. For the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. Though he had never did a single thing wrong, but the angry crowd chose him. And then it goes on to say he lived and he died, but 3 days later, he rose. And that was the end of the beginning. The text this morning will be the Emmaus Walk text, Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 24. And I'll be bouncing around, but I want to read the first part to you. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And the stone being rolled away, they tell me it could weigh up to 2 tons. Roman soldiers guarding that stone. And some people believe that those soldiers were overpowered by a bunch of disciples. Former fishermen, tax collectors, regular guys are going to overpower Roman soldiers. That's a myth. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. Somebody say angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still alive. Remember what he said when he was alive. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us this morning. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Lord, I ask you to speak through me this morning. Lord, I pray that I would decrease and you'd increase, Lord. I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth will be of you. Lord, I pray that you would hide the Ronnie, Lord, and lift your son Jesus up because he's the only one that's to be lifted up this morning. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room, Lord, that you'd captivate them, Lord, that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, and they would have an open heart this morning. Lord, that they would be ready and willing to receive your Spirit and what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. The end of the beginning. How many of you love a good comeback story? I mean a good underdog story. I mean, I'm a sports guy. I love an underdog story. I read an article recently about a man named John Robinson. He was born in 1968. He was the son of a Presbyterian minister. I love preacher's kids because I am one. And nobody knows what it's like to live through that unless you are one. And y'all have heard me say all that before. But I knew that when Kelly heard me tell this illustration, she would probably say, well, you will always tell stories about preacher's kids. But I really didn't know this guy was a preacher's kid till I got deep into the story. But he was the son of a Presbyterian ministry. And this pastor and his wife, they were in the hospital and the baby had been born. And the doctor said, you have a precious baby boy, but... And you never want to hear that, do you? He was born with a disease. He had no arms, no legs. And they didn't know how long he would live. And for months, the mother didn't want anyone coming in to the hospital room to see the baby. She was ashamed. She was depressed. She was angry at God for, you know, why does this happen? The pastor, father, his faith was challenged. Like, how in the world could this happen to my kid? I've prayed. I've believed for this baby. Well, John Robinson has a wife. 42 years old, 3 kids. He's a marketing executive. He's accomplished everything a man can do. He can hit a golf ball 150 yards straight. I wish I could do that, and I have arms and legs. But he's done everything. He's graduated from high school, graduated from college. He's a successful businessman. He's accomplished all these. And he said, when they asked him, he said, when I encountered a problem, I came up with a solution.
All right.
And I want to say this morning. What you may think is the end in your own life is really just the beginning. I can remember, amen, let's give God praise and glory. We're going to clap. I can remember at about 17 or 18 years old, you know, I buried a friend who died of an overdose. And I thought my life was over. And I thought, hey, I've got this drug problem. I'm fixing to have a child. My life's over. And the enemy would have tried to convince me at that time to kill myself. Because see, that's what the enemy is referred to in the Bible as the accuser of the brethren. So when you're depressed and you're down and you've committed some sins and you're feeling really low and down, that's when the enemy creeps in and says, oh, just take another drink. Just take another pill. But you know, when Jesus comes on the scene, that end is the beginning. You see, what I thought was the end of my life was just the beginning of my life. Amen. God wanted to birth a family, give me children. Why he chose to do that with me and to make me a preacher, I'll never understand that. But I do know this, that the Word of God says, for all things work together for the good. For those who are called according to His purpose. So you may feel like this morning, you may have drifted in here and you may feel like, you know what, man, I feel like my life's over. I can't pay my bills. I'm struggling. You know, I'm depressed. I'm addicted. I haven't been in church in a while. My friends all have left me. I'm sure Jesus felt like that. I mean, His disciples denied Him. One of them betrayed Him. But you see, what everyone, including the devil, thought was the end was only the beginning. Sports Illustrated did an article in 2001 after the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Yankees in that amazing comeback in baseball. But they did the all-time greatest comebacks, and they weren't really relative to sports. They talked about a number of things. But one of the comebacks was Muhammad Ali, who was exiled for 7 years and who came back to win the title. They talked about that. They talked about these, some of them were sports, but some of them was, they gave humanity was like number four when it recovered from the Black Plague in the 14th century, humanity. And then they went through all, but guess what number one was? Jesus Christ. It said Jesus Christ in 33 AD when He rose from the grave. That was number one on the list. What you think is the end, God is going to use that to birth something new and fresh in your life. So as we walk through the road of Emmaus this morning, look with me. The same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, what are you two discussing as you walk along? First of all, it says they were discussing in the King James or in the New International Version. The word used there, the Greek word, is sudzeteo, which means to investigate jointly, to discuss, to dispute. Let me tell you what that means in Ronnie Phillips English. They were arguing. They were arguing with one another. And the first thing this morning is an open tomb. And as the students and the children so greatly depicted the open tomb and the different personalities, but there's an open tomb this morning. I've seen it. I've been inside of it in Israel. It's open. It was a borrowed tomb, but it's empty. You see, the difference between us and other religions is that our God rose. He's alive this morning. He's not dead. It's not a book of myths or fairy tales. He is alive that lives in us. That's the difference. There's an open tomb. But could you imagine these men who had been with Jesus, who had probably seen him feed 5,000 people, they're walking down this road and they're arguing with one another. Why? Because they didn't know there was an open tomb. It reminds me of the church today, doesn't it? There's an open tomb, a risen Savior, but we're too busy arguing and nitpicking to realize that a miracle has just taken place. That's why I'm a charismatic. It's not because I'm crazy, amen. But if I'm smart enough to know that if I can believe a guy was born of a virgin and who never sinned and who got up from the grave, then I can believe God can make me do anything crazy, amen. But there is an open tomb this morning. And they were arguing. I could see Cleopas going, man, what is up? This guy we believed in, we killed it. They killed him. It's all over. He was supposed to be the king of Jerusalem. And the other one's going, well, now Mary and all those crazy charismatic women said he wasn't in the grave. I bet Judas got him. Could you imagine? They're walking down the road arguing. And it's funny, but they were sad too. They were mourning. And you know, sometimes when you're upset, man, you'll lash out at somebody. You'll lash out at God sometimes, won't you? When you get upset, you get hurt, you start blame. You want to blame somebody. I know I'm that way. Man, if I mess up or if I get hurt, man, that's got to be somebody else's fault. It sure wasn't my fault. So they're pointing at one another, blaming each other. And then the Son of God, who they were kept from really recognizing. Some believe it was because of the way the sun was in the east. Some believe just the Holy Spirit just kept them from recognizing him. But he walks in the midst of them and meets them on this road. And they don't even feel the power. They can't even recognize that the risen Savior is in their midst. And we get up every day and we go to work or we go to school or we go and we live our life, and do we not understand that he is in our midst? Yeah. We watch 40-something hours of TV, and I love TV. I'll watch Celebrity Apprentice tonight. I love that show. Glory to God. You're fired, amen. I'm not preaching against TV. Don't get nervous. But the truth is, 40 hours a week, every household watches. Every now and then, why don't we just turn that baby off and ask the Lord to do something in our family? Ask the Lord to come in our house, amen? Ask the Lord to give us an answer to something we've been praying about, to show us a glimpse of our destiny, to fill us with His Spirit, to protect our children and grandchildren. Why don't we just give the Lord a little bit of time and recognize that He's right there. That even though we're not thinking about Him, we're not serving Him, we're not living right all the time, He's still there. This Easter Sunday, why don't we make a commitment to lift Him up on every day, not just Easter Sunday. He's worthy every day, not just one day a year. He's worthy every day. He forgives every day. Amen. He got up for us. There's an open tomb. And for those of you struggling, if you'll come to that first, that if you'll just realize that Jesus is who the Bible says He is, and He did what the Bible said He did, chains will begin to fall off you. If you begin to come to the understanding of who Jesus was, You see, some of you have settled for what other people have told you about Jesus your whole life, and you haven't read this book for yourself. And it surprises people when I tell them, Jesus did not like religious people. He hated religious people. The people he got into it with were the people judging the sinners. There's an open tomb. If you can come to the understanding that he got up out of that grave, then the next thing is an open heaven. An open heaven. It says the same day, we go back to Luke 24, it says that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Two angels appeared to them. The Christian life is one that can't be constricted into really even one book, one sermon, one song, one church service.
That's right.
Jesus Christ transcends all of that. But if you can understand that he got up out of the grave, then my friend, I've got some more good news for you. There's an open heaven. There's dimensional interruptions that occur when we begin to pray for one another. Can I tell you this morning that Lynn, who we prayed for last week, texted me last night, and the breast thing that he had, the lump in his breast, came back fine. Fine. And there's dimensional interruptions. But see, if you're going to believe that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a life without sin, that he got up out of the grave, then the next thing you better believe is that God can do something for you right now. He can do something for you right now. He can send angels. If that car is going off the road, one of my friends, Jamie Regal, an evangelist that I've preached with, texted me yesterday, and he was driving down the road on 75 going about 90 miles an hour. Tire came out, and he slid off the road across three lanes of traffic and not a scratch on him. And if y'all know, I don't know if you know Jamie, but he's about 400 pounds, so there was no getting out of that car if he'd have wrecked. And you can choose to believe, well, that's just coincidence. After you've been through what I've been through, my friend, I believe in miracles. I believe I'm a miracle. I believe if you're saved, you're a miracle. I believe we're all miracles that know Jesus. Because you can argue the Bible, you can argue verses, but my friend, this Easter Sunday morning, you can't argue, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once had cancer, but now I'm healed. You can't argue that. You can't argue someone who would say they were hooked and addicted to drugs, and then the next day they're serving Jesus Christ. You can't make that stuff up. That's the power of Jesus. But there's an open heaven. Angels appeared to these women, and they always go ahead of the miraculous. Angels do, and I'm not going to preach angels to you this morning, but understand that there was an open tomb. And then if you can understand there was an open tomb, then you can understand that there's an open heaven over your life if you know Jesus Christ. That means you're going to get breaks that other people don't get. You're going to get things that other people don't have. And I don't mean material things. I don't mean money. I mean, my friend, when you believe in Jesus Christ, I believe he's going to take care of you. Now, society in this world has equated that to big cars and big houses, but that's not what I mean. I mean the peace of God in your life. I mean the favor of God on your life, which you can't put a price tag on that. There's an inner peace that comes within your spirit that you cannot put a price tag on. I would rather have that inner peace, that inner joy, than I would a Bentley, a five-story house, or anything else. There is a peace that is within you. There was an open tomb. They realized there was an open heaven. And once you get to step one and two, it's time to open your Bible. There was an open Bible. There was an open Bible. Luke 24, verse 27 says this, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus appears to these men walking on Emmaus Road. Jesus comes in their midst and he begins to tell them and go back through the scriptures of the Old Testament and the Pentateuch. He begins to show himself to them through the scriptures. He begins to walk them through one verse at a time. And I wonder if it went a little something like this. I wonder if he said, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times." Or maybe he said this in John 8:58, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Or maybe it was Colossians 1, verse 15, when it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have preeminence, supremacy, that he is above everything. He's above the devil. He's above the demons. He's above your addictions. He's above your bills. He's above this church. He's above Baptists. He's above Methodists. He's above Catholics. He's above Church of God. He's above it all. Amen. And could you imagine Jesus saying, "Look, I come from the line of David. In Psalms they were talking about me. In Genesis they were talking about me. I'm the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm the answer to your prayers. I'm everything that you couldn't get through the law. I am Jesus who died for you, whose blood was shed for you." Or maybe he went to Revelation and he said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave." Or maybe it was in Isaiah, what the prophet said, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Or maybe it was what we spoke about a few weeks ago. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners." Do you understand this morning that Jesus hadn't been born yet when those things were written, most of them? Do you understand that? You understand that the Scripture said there's one coming. As John the Baptist said, "Who I'm not worthy to walk behind." Luke 24, beginning with verse 44. "Then he said to him, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures." You see, you can sit here and read this book all day. You can sit here and you can have it memorized. You can know every verse. You can know the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not steal, kill. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that." You can know every word in here. And I've got a degree in it. But let me tell you something. Knowing and knowing, there's two different knows, amen. You can know it, but something inside you better really know it. Something better grab a hold of it, so that when you're depressed, you're down, God will give you some strength. Thank you, Jesus. But there was an open Bible. "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise." Hallelujah. Yeah. We know about the promise, don't we? Yeah. "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, clothed with power from on high. Pastor Ronnie, how am I going to get through tomorrow? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this relationship struggle? How am I going to make it? Power from on high for those who believe. I believe God is never late. He's always on time. He may not be on our time, but He's on His time. Amen. Next. There was an open Bible, but there was open eyes. Open eyes. Luke 24, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone farther, which means Jesus was going to keep on moving. But they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And He went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Everybody say, broke it. And gave it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished from their sight. It's amazing that we can see God in the simplest of things. The Lord chose to bring Himself into the lives of homes for centuries to come through a simple act of breaking bread. This is My body. And He had done that with them before. And when He broke that bread, it all came together for them. Maybe you've lived a life of sin, which the Bible says we've all sinned, and we all fall short. Nobody's perfect, definitely not me. But maybe you've lived a life wondering about faith or wondering what it is God wants you to do, what your purpose is in life. And maybe this morning through the Word of God or through something, it's finally all come together for you. See, all it took was the breaking of bread for these two men to understand that the Messiah that foretold of His death and His resurrection, all it took was that simple thing for everything that they'd been arguing about, everything they'd been crying about, all that to be wept away and for them to understand the fulfillment of prophecy. Maybe this morning, that just understanding that He rose from the grave is enough for you. Maybe this could be the end of your beginning. The end of your beginning. But their eyes were open. Their spiritual eyes were open. Their eyes were opened. They begin to see God for who He really was. There's a song that says, "I saw God today. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just slow down and stop and stare. Open my eyes and man, I swear, I saw God today." Have you seen God today? Did you see God yesterday? I don't mean the long-haired guy in the pictures. I mean the Holy Spirit. I mean the only God we've got until He comes back. His Spirit. I believe if you wanted to see God, you would have seen Him yesterday at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. When people went out, away from time with their families, to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Why would anybody sane want to do that? Because something's changed in their life. They know that heaven and hell is real. They know that a relationship with God is important. And they know that God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they wanted to see this building full. And glory to God, it's about full this morning, isn't it? Have you seen God? Have you seen God for who He really is? A man that loves sinners who died for you. He died for everyone, but He specifically died for you. Finally, this morning, there was an open tomb. He got up out of the grave. There's an open heaven for those that believe. And even Jesus opened them to the Bible. Amen. If you want to make it in your life, even if I don't care how many prayers you've prayed, occasionally you better open the Bible. And you better let God to begin to speak to you through it. It's not the only way He speaks, but it's a pretty loud way He speaks. They opened their eyes to who He was. And finally this morning, and this is the most important thing to receive all this, you need to open your heart. They had an open heart. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Slow of heart to believe. Some of you this morning may be slow of heart to believe. You may have questions, concerns. But let me tell you something. You need to open your heart to Jesus this morning. If you haven't heard anything that I've said, I want you to open your heart to Jesus this morning. Just like I said in Revelation, it says He's taken the key to death and hell and the grave. When He got up out of that grave, it was finished. He resides at the right hand of the Father. And if you don't know Him, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know what would happen to you if you died today, if you don't have a peace about that, then my friend, I want to tell you this morning that He makes intercession for you. He is at the right hand of the Father and He's praying for you. Did you know that? The one that got up out of the grave, that appeared to 500 people, and then just shortly, a few verses later, well, why don't we just go ahead and read it? They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. Verse 33, after Jesus vanished from them, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way to Emmaus and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind?" Ask yourself that question this morning. Why are doubts rising in your mind? "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And then He ate a piece of fish. And in verse 44, He said to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Verse 50, when He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually, everybody say continually, at the temple praising God. They stayed continually at the temple praising God. After they had seen Jesus, the disciples in the upper room, they had seen Him. They had seen Him do everything from perform miracles to be raised from the dead. He ascended on high to be at the right hand of the Father. And what happens at this point? They were continually in the synagogue worshiping Him in the temple. Ask yourself this question this morning. Are you continually in the temple praising and worshiping God? Because you see, these men had seen and they'd had a miracle performed in their life, and they never ceased going to church, worshiping Him, sharing their faith. It was a lifelong mission for them. It needs to be a lifelong mission for us as well. Amen? Bow your head and close your eyes this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.